And so often we want to learn just this one tip, this one technique, this one thing that we think is outside of us that's going to help our children, when really it's what we have control over within us, I think, that has the greatest ability to help them.
Welcome to the Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers podcast with Sean and Jasmine Turner, and sponsored by ParentEQ.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers. I am Jasmine Turner, one of your hosts. My husband, Sean, and I produce and host this podcast. And you all know that typically Sean is the one to do the interviews, but I'm so excited because today I get to show you an interview that I did with a real-life mom who is also a licensed counselor specializing in working with adolescents and their families. So I'm super excited to have her on. Let me give you a little background on who she is, because she's got so many amazing accomplishments. Dr. Courtney Conley is an author, assistant professor, and licensed counselor who specializes in working with adolescents and their families. Since 2007, she has worked with youth in a variety of capacities. Courtney spent 8 years working in the public school system, where she served as a high school and middle school counselor. She's passionate about building a culture of wellness and recently published a book entitled Your Daughter Doesn't Have to Be Miserable, which, by the way, is an amazing book. She'll talk a lot about it on this episode. So she currently resides in a suburb of Washington, D.C., where she continues to serve clients in her private practice, Expanding Horizons Counseling and Wellness. Again, I am just so excited for you guys to listen in on our conversation, which, by the way, was so enlightening for me. I feel like even having 8 kids and being a mom for over 20 years, you know, you'd think that there's nothing new you can learn. But guys, wow, I just had so many moments where a light bulb turned on and so many things that I thought, I need to make little changes in what I'm doing. I hope that you can find some tools on how to support your teenage daughter, if that's why you clicked on this episode, because that's the title of it. How you can support your teenage daughter through emotional issues, whether they be actual diagnoses or even if she's just having a hard time. I think that what you'll find is that all of the things that Courtney talks about are applicable to any age and any child. But in specific, I want to shout out to all you mamas of teenage girls out there. And without any further ado, here's our chat. Welcome, Courtney. We are so excited to have you on the show today. I am just so fascinated with what you are doing. It's intrigued me so much. I'm going to have you go ahead and start off by introducing yourself. You can tell us a little bit about your personal life and also your professional life so that our audience can get to know you.
Well, first, thank you for having me on and giving me a chance to talk about the work that means so much to me, and hopefully will help some of your listeners or help somebody out there and serve somebody in some way. So yeah, my name's Courtney Conley, and let's start personally. That's a little bit more fun. So I have 2 kids. I have a daughter who literally just turned 4, who's we describe as pretty fierce. She has no fear of anything, larger than life kind of personality. And my son, he will be 6 in March. So I'm pretty busy with the 2 little ones. I have a husband, and today is actually our 7th anniversary.
Oh my goodness, happy anniversary. Yeah. Thank you for showing up on the podcast.
Yeah, so kind of a fun way to start the celebration, right? And so we live in Maryland. I'm originally from a small town of 500 people until I transplanted to Maryland. So so personally, I love to read. I love to create through writing and drawing and that kind of thing. But professionally, I got my master's degree in counseling. I always was drawn to the helping profession. And
do you know your Enneagram type?
No, not really.
You don't? Okay.
No.
We talk a lot about Enneagram on here. So I was like, are you a 2? So anyway, my audience sometimes knows, like, what's your Enneagram type? You'll have to go take the test.
I definitely will. If you could ask me my Myers-Briggs, I know that one. But
Yeah, I know. It's like there's one camp or the other camp. So you're good. You're good. What's your Myers-Briggs?
Yeah, it's ENFJ.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, so I always was drawn to the, you know, the helping professions. And a piece of that really kind of stemmed from my own past and my own adolescence. I struggled quite a bit as a teenager with depression, anxiety, just that whole sense of not feeling like I fit in, not knowing who I was. So then trying to create who I was and create who I thought people would accept, but being miserable in the process. So just a whole lot of struggle there in my teenage years, which I think pushed me towards the helping professions, because I do very much consider myself a wounded healer. And so I wanted to be able to connect with youth, connect with adolescents, and be able to help support them and serve them so that maybe I can help them through those struggles of, you know, being a teenager with fewer bumps and bruises. Not that we can buffer them from everything, but hopefully help guide them through with a few less bumps and bruises than I experienced.
Yeah. And just think of how prepared you're going to be for your own children. I didn't realize your kids were so young. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to totally be good when your kids get to be teenagers.
Yeah, they're keeping me busy right now, but I don't think that ever stops. I hear from, in working with parents of teenagers and having worked with teenagers myself, I mean, I don't think it ever stops. But the great thing is too, what I do with teenagers, I found truly trickles down and works on the younger ones too. So it's building that foundation from the ground up, really.
Oh my goodness. You are so right. It's like, not only that, but what you teach, I'm sure, is affecting parents too. And the reason why I invited Courtney on is because she just published a new book, and it is entitled Your Daughter Doesn't Have to Be Miserable, An Approach to Supporting Your Teenage Daughter Through Depression. I saw that she was promoting her book or just telling people, I'm an author, and this was on a Facebook group that I'm on, and I went, oh my goodness, my audience has to listen to what she has to say. And obviously, I totally encourage everybody to go get the book. And so, Courtney, I would love for you to tell us kind of like why you decided to write the book and then maybe highlight a couple of things from the book. So go ahead and let us know that little story.
Yeah, absolutely. So somewhat in a nutshell, right? I spent 8 years working with adolescents in the school system. So I was a high school counselor for 6 years. I was a middle school counselor for 2 years. And I just kept seeing all the challenges that our teens were going through. And a lot of it stemmed around depression, anxiety, and helping students work through all these really strong emotions and just seeing what they go through. And having my background being a counselor, and then now I'm a counselor educator, so I actually work with counselors in training, and then I work with parents. So it was just this, the way everything came together, knowing that the teens desperately wanted connection with people, and they would constantly tell me, whomever, teachers, parents, coaches, whoever's in their life as a support person, that they just feel like they're not understood. Adults don't understand. That was one of the most consistent messages that I heard from teenagers when I was working with them, and where I felt like I made the biggest impact, because I took that time to really connect with them and learn who they were on that deepest level before I tried to do anything with them, any intervention, anything that I thought would help. I just stepped back and tried to connect. And then I realized, this is something you can teach, because I'm teaching these micro counseling skills to counselors in training who have no background in, like, this is one of their first classes. So it's not like you need to have this taste of like the mental health field or, you know, want to be a counselor to learn these skills. And so I started teaching people in the school system things like validation and empathy, and those micro counseling skills that really help us connect with clients quickly. And I was doing that with teens. And then I realized, if I'm doing this with counselors in training, there's no reason that parents and teachers and folks who want to connect with their teens so badly can't use this to connect and build that relationship. So that's where my work stemmed from. And then I do this on an individual basis in my counseling practice all the time. And having seen how powerful it can be in supporting teens through whatever they're going through, again, not that we can eliminate what they're going through, but that connection allows us to support them in a lot different way. And so just seeing that and seeing how needed it was and how beneficial it was working on an individual level, I just really felt the call to put this work together and put it out there in a way that allowed more folks to access it.
That is so incredible. I just, wow, so many people need that information. So many people need those tools. Does the book go like chapter by chapter, just topic by topic, or is it sequential? Tell us a little bit about the structure of the book and maybe, you know, can introduce us to some of those main points.
Yeah, absolutely. So I almost look at it as three phases because, again, connection is central to what I think helps. And I always think of it as this analogy, right? If you are trying to help someone and they're lost in the woods, we have to find them first before we can help lead them out. And so that's the analogy that I use with folks. And so I do look at it as three phases. So the first phase of the book really focuses on empathy and trying to help people understand where teenagers are coming from and some of the common themes that, you know, they've told me time and time again out of the hundreds of teenagers I've worked with, and looking at their psychosocial development and the fact that they're exactly where they should be. But when we look at it through an adult lens, we see their behavior as dramatic or it's not as important. And we don't mean to do that. But when we're not using the right lens, we aren't looking at their problem as if a teenager would.
Yeah, my husband always likes to tell parents that teenagers are not mini adults. Mm-hmm. Their brains are not there. And you cannot, just because they're the size of an adult, because they get, you know, like I have a son who's as tall as me and he's 13. Mm-hmm. It's like, just because they're that size and they physically on the outside look like they could be an adult, kind of. Yeah. They are not mentally there.
Yes, absolutely. So when we try to apply that adult mentality to where they are, it just doesn't work. And it serves to further alienate us and do that disconnect, you know, promote that disconnection. So the first phase, you know, I always say the way out of depression starts with finding the way in. And so that first phase really is trying to develop that empathy and help folks gain access to that way in, because teenagers are also good at shutting us out. And then the middle phase, I think it seems somewhat counterintuitive to folks, but I really work hard with parents on wellness and self-care. And I like to call it functional self-care, because a lot of times folks are taking a bubble bath once a week and thinking that that's enough. So I focus a lot on making sure that we don't deplete our emotional reserves, because it takes sustained emotional energy to continuously support our teenagers when they're struggling. This isn't just one bad day they're having a week. If they're struggling through depression or anxiety or, you know, just consistent feelings of that inner turmoil, it takes sustained emotional energy. And so I really work with parents on not depleting that, because your biggest power, your greatest power lies in your response. And so often we want to learn just this one tip, this one technique, this one thing that we think is outside of us that's going to help our children, when really it's what we have control over within us, I think, that has the greatest ability to help them.
Oh my goodness. Yes, absolutely. I could say that over and over and over again to people to help them understand that, but that's so true. It goes right in line with what we teach, which is you have to know yourself. You have to go within yourself first and fill your cup. I mean, over and over again on our podcast, I'm always telling people you've got to fill your own cup. We just had an episode not too long ago where we talked all about that. And I could say it over and over again because I don't think people hear it enough, but you're so right. If the parent is not taking care of themselves, honestly, emotionally, they're not going to be able to help their daughter through strong emotions and ups and downs and things like that. So I love that.
Absolutely. When we're working with teenagers, especially teenagers who are struggling or might be placing the blame on us or lashing out, you know, towards parents, because we're their safe people. It does. It takes so much patience. It takes, and you have to be in a good space for that. I know on a daily basis, you know, if I'm exhausted and running myself ragged, my children are definitely not getting the patient version of me. And I'm such a better, I just feel so much better about my parenting and my patience level and everything else when I take the time to take care of myself. So I do spend a lot of time in the middle section, you know, hopefully getting rid of that mindset that I think parents have, and especially mothers a lot of times will tell me that they feel like it's selfish. It takes time away from the family. But I try to instill that it really doesn't. Two things. One, you're modeling for your child self-care and wellness from the start and how important that is. And then the other part is it's going to add quality, you know, and you're going to be able to formulate your responses the way you want to, rather than just kind of that knee-jerk, frazzled reaction.
You're going to be able to be proactive rather than reactive. Because when we're tired and depleted, it's just reactions. It's just survival mode, and it's just like putting out fires all over the place. I always feel like that myself. I'm speaking from total personal experience, by the way. I am not above any of this. I could hear it all day, every day, and still go home and be like, ah, so I'm a work in progress. Let's just put
Absolutely.
It that way.
And I think we all are, you know, as much as I know this stuff, I 100% there's days when I'm not putting it into practice, you know, and then I take stock at night and do my little like nighttime gratitude routine and try to figure out how I want to shape the next day. I mean, yeah, nobody's immune to it. There's, it's just, you know, our kids have buttons that sometimes get pushed, and no matter how much we're taking care of ourselves, you know, sometimes we're going to lash out as well, or, you know, like you said, just be more reactive. But yeah, so that's kind of the second phase that I really spend a lot of time on. And then the third phase of the book, right, is leading your daughter out, if we think about that analogy of somebody being lost in the woods. So the third phase I really consider is, you know, the way out. And that's where I teach some of the strategies and the micro skills that we've talked about a little bit towards the beginning. And one of the big ones is validation. And this is huge. I don't know if I can stress how well this works enough. It truly serves to de-escalate. And the problem is folks feel like if they're validating someone's feelings, they're reinforcing the behavior. And that's really not the case. So what validation is just saying, I see how you feel, like taking that step back that we need those emotional reserves for, and trying to understand where someone is coming from, where our teenager is coming from when they're upset and lashing out, and validating that they're upset, validating it's okay, you're upset. I understand you're upset. We're not saying the way you're choosing to lash out at me is okay, but what we're doing is we're acknowledging those intense feelings, and we're acknowledging the way that they feel, whether they're angry, whether they're sad, whether they're disappointed because they can't go somewhere, you're not allowing them to go to a party. We're acknowledging that we realize that's upsetting, it's disappointing, and it sucks.
Yeah, I think sometimes, to be completely honest with you, because we talked a second ago before we started recording about just being more conscious. And realizing how our lens and how our view of ourself affects our parenting. But what you just said just reminded me, and then just made me have this aha moment of how much our sort of background and our upbringing affects that. Because listen, if you were not validated as an adolescent, you're going to be resentful about validating your adolescent. And so take some time to look at that. Why are you not wanting to validate your child or their emotions? Well, maybe because you were told a million times when you were younger to stop crying, stop, you know, or go into your room till you're done having a fit, or whatever it was.
Absolutely. And that, it's funny that you said that too, because it is one of the chapters in there about breaking free, right? Deciding, looking at what you grew up with and how you grew up and parenting styles and things like that, and deciding what doesn't serve you as a parent now and what you want to keep. You know, there's always things that we want to keep and things we want to change if we take time to generate that awareness and look. we underestimate the impact that we can have. And that's, again, why my biggest message to parents is, you know, it is an empowering one in terms of, you know, your greatest power lies within. And we're so often looking outside for this strategy or this tip or that technique or this exercise, you know, when really your greatest power, I think, lies within you.
Right. That's a mic drop moment right there. Well, and I think that's a great place to wrap up. If you guys don't remember anything from this podcast episode, which I hope you remember a lot, but even if you don't, like if you were trying to do two things at one time and you're cleaning or something, please stop for 2 seconds and allow that to soak into you. Your greatest power lies within as a parent. So thank you again so much, Courtney. I actually realized this whole entire time I could be calling you Dr. Conley, so I apologize for that. But I want to honor you for what you've attained, because I think that's incredible as a mom. But again, thank you so much for not just coming on the podcast, but for being the voice that you are being in the world and directing people to solutions that aren't Band-Aids.
Thank you so much for having me on and allowing me to share my work and share what I'm so passionate about. And hopefully somebody's listening who needed to hear that message today.
Absolutely. And again, if you're wondering how to find out more about Courtney and what she does, please check the show notes. I will be leaving all of that. I am actually going to ask her though really quickly, can you let us know your social, like if you're on Instagram, Facebook, and your website too?
On Facebook, you can find me either at Dr. Courtney Conley or at Conley Empowerment, Conley Empowerment is my handle. And then my website is Courtney-Conley, Conley.com.
Awesome. And what do we have to look forward as far as what you've got in the works?
So I wrote this first book for parents to try to help them. The second book that I'm working on is directly for teens, and I'm doing it in sort of a spiritual guidance way. So talking to them about self-love, self-acceptance, finding their inner voice, the mind-body connection and all of that. But I'm doing it through a fun kind of power of story way so that it's engaging and entertaining for them. And then I have a course for parents. I have an online course for parents that sort of mirrors the steps in the book, but goes into a little bit more detail as I'm actually teaching it myself. And then I have, again, the course for teenagers called the Youth Enlightenment and Self-Acceptance Project. So I just kind of call it the YES Project, trying to infuse that, you know, self-acceptance and self-love into our teenagers that I know is going to make a huge difference in their life.
Wow, it sounds incredible. Oh, so guys, check out all her resources. She's got lots. You can look for her in all of those places that she just mentioned. And thank you again, Courtney, for coming on. It's been a pleasure to chat with you, and I hope to have you on again. It would be great to have you come on and be a guest again. So thanks again, and we'll see you later.
Thank you.
I told you this was going to be an amazing interview, and it was, wasn't it? So many awesome concepts that Courtney brought up. So many things that I think are just actionable, but also really deep things that I think we can take and ponder. And again, like I said when we were chatting, let everything soak in. Take some time and let all that soak in. As a side note, I just want to remind you, if you liked this episode and if you know somebody who is going through something in their parenting that might find help in this episode, would you please just take a quick second to share it with them? Just take a moment and just text it over to them or share it on your social media. Thank you so much again for just supporting everything that we're doing. We just want you to know that we're on your side. We're on your team. We're all in this together. And as always, here's to authentic and intentional parenting. See you next time. Last but not least, the advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional.